Unstuck, the fable. The stop sign. Anne, we need to talk. As soon as the words rolled out of George Johnson's mouth, the flashing blue lights caught his attention in the rearview mirror of his Lexus. You have to be kidding me, came rushing hotly into George's mind. Of all days and of all... The voice of his wife, Anne, interrupted his thinking. George, you ran the stop sign! But it was too late. George had blown right through it, preoccupied with the thoughts that had been building in his mind and heart for weeks. The last thing George expected was to be pulled over in his own neighborhood. Though once vibrant and fully engaged in his work, the past 7 years as the president of First National Bank had taken its toll on George's psyche. He felt like his soul wasn't in his work anymore. Board meetings, golf outings, loan approvals, regulatory issues, meaningless emails, and monitoring his 401k statements consumed most of his time. George knew in his gut there was more to life than these things, but he didn't feel fulfilled by the work he was doing. Significance was eluding him. May I see your license and registration, please? Not recognizing the young officer, George's eyes lowered to the name badge over the right shirt pocket of his freshly starched uniform, which read simply, Bradley. Sir, I live in this neighborhood, less than a mile from here, in fact. Without emotion, the officer replied. Then you should know children play on these streets and cross this intersection all the time. The stop sign applies to everyone, sir. Now, if I could see your license and registration, please. I'm the president of the bank, and we've lived in this subdivision for 13 years, George pointed out, glancing over at his wife. The fact that Anne sat quietly didn't stop her from communicating her disapproval to her husband. With just one slightly raised eyebrow, she relayed that George needed to obey the officer's request. Sir, I'm not going to ask you again. Your license and registration. This time there was little patience in Bradley's tone. Reluctantly, George complied. For the next 10 minutes, neither George nor Anne said a word. It was all he could do to keep from exploding. A ticket in my own neighborhood! This is ridiculous. The fact that three of his neighbors drove by, slowing down to see what had happened, didn't help matters. Sign here, please, were the next words George heard. Your signature is not an admission of guilt. If you choose to dispute the charges, you have the right to appear in court on June 20th. Mumbling under his breath, George scribbled his name. Confession. The house felt empty as George walked through the door leading from the garage to the kitchen. Following him into the house, Anne asked, What is it you want to talk about? Not forgetting his words prior to the stop sign.
Not now, Anne.
I really want to talk about what's on your mind, she said with a touch of concern.
It's nothing, really.
George, you said we need to talk. Now let's have it. Realizing this woman who knew him so well was not about to let it go, George showed a crack in the facade of strength he was trying to portray.
I'm losing it, Anne.
Losing what, dear?
My mind, I think.
Come on, George. You've pushed the limit on that stop sign for years. I hate to say it, but the officer had no choice. I'm not upset. Let it go, and let's get some rest.
Anne, I'm not talking about the stop sign. I'm talking about me. Something's wrong with me.
Never one to complain, the way George said that last sentence communicated a sense of fear, almost a cry for help. Frankly, it scared Anne, who turned toward the kitchen as she said, Sit down, and I'll put on a kettle of tea. As George and Anne talked well into the night, it was obvious something was wrong. George unloaded the emptiness, boredom, and confusion he was feeling about his life. There were times when Anne questioned whether it was simply a phase George was going through, but she mostly just listened. When they eventually went to bed, it was 1:37 in the morning, and George was more than tired. He was weary. George showed a crack in the facade of strength he was trying to portray. Sunday morning dawned, with George still exhausted, emotionally spent from his late-night confession. At breakfast, Anne poured George's coffee with the gentle suggestion, You need to talk with someone, sweetheart, someone who can help you process what you're feeling. I have to believe this is simply a phase. You've always loved your work, and frankly, your life.
Who would I talk to? Are you suggesting a shrink?